continuum of that which we have embarked upon, and of course we shall labor here well until the Lord leads us elsewhere. Right. And so our focus is on the scripture doctrine of regeneration, eternal justification, eternal sanctification, eternal security, eternal glorification.
Oh, yeah.
Eternal, 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 eternal. Amen. I hope it revolves around in your mind like a broken record. Eternal, eternal, eternal.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, that's the only thing you got going for you.
It is.
Because time is going to come to a conclusion.
All right.
We don't want to hold on to something that's going to disappear, do we? No, we won't. Your hope has to be in that which is perpetual, not in that which is temporary.
Yeah.
Amen. So this is why we prioritize eternity over time. Deacon Galvin shall be our designated reader this morning. Well, Deacon, of course, you know where to go.
Yes.
Let's go to Titus chapter 3. In conjunction this morning, we shall go to Matthew. Yeah, I said Matthew.
All right.
Chapter 19, verse 28. Mm-hmm. Amen. As we continue our exposition to the Word of God in defining those things that are the workings of God in eternity on our behalf.
That's right.
God really took care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Sometimes I've heard the expression where speaking about a man and his wife, that's a good husband. You say, well, he really takes care of her.
Mm.
Amen. God really taking care of us.
Oh, yes, he is.
Huh?
Yes, he is.
Not just taking care of us, he is. From the beginning, he set the benefits, and then he designed us to meet the benefits.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Set the benefits, and then he designed the recipients. He designed you as a recipient of the benefit.
Yes,
isn't that something?
Yes, Lord.
That. Oh my God! You know, they said, "Well, I really love the Lord." You really, really, really,
really,
really, really, really, really should love the Lord, not based upon something that's happening here and now. Not based upon some physical material thing that he has blessed you for. Yeah, we thank God for all of these things.
Yes.
But when you say I really love the Lord, you're talking beyond that.
All right.
Amen. All right. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Well, Deacon, read that right quickly, and then we'll move forward in our dissertation. Everyone has Titus chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1 so that we'll be go down to verse 7, and then we will move forward. Mm-hmm. All right? Everyone that has Titus chapter 3, verse 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Not by works of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Not by anything of our input or contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Not by anything that which we have done
or
can do.
That's right.
Read.
But according to his mercy.
But according to his mercy.
He saved us.
That's the only reason you're saved. Amen. It was not due judgment. It was the withholding of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And the substitution of the very opposite of what we should have received.
Mm-hmm.
And how did he do it?
By the washing of regeneration.
By washing regeneration, we've been through that.
And renewing of the Holy Ghost.
And renewal Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
By washing regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And here again you have double genitive there. And washing is not, that's not a gerund. That shouldn't even be in there like that. Basically it is a noun.
Mm-hmm.
It is a noun that basically is hooked up with regeneration. So washing, regeneration goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are genitive.
Mm-hmm.
And renewal, Holy Spirit, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Renewal, Holy Spirit, amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not renewing, it's renewal. Renewal, Holy Spirit,
all right.
Amen. The re, you know what re is.
Yes.
It means again.
Yeah.
That prefix means again. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, new Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Verse 6.
Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
And that is in the eternal sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Last verse.
That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
All right, just that 6th and 7th verse, read that from the Greek text. Everyone that has your Greek Bibles. Everyone that has a Greek Bible. And of course, we've got some more coming in, and they will be available very shortly. When everyone that's a frequenter of this assembly, whether you're a member or just a frequent visitor, we would like for you to have the interlinear Greek Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, there is a large difference. There's a great difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of the readings many times and of the cogitation.
Oh, yes.
The intended thought conveyance, amen, is completely different when it is exegeted correctly. All right, those that have it, follow through. Those that don't, listen intently. All right, Brother Deacon Reed, that's the 6th and the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter of Titus from the Greek translation.
Verse 6, which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us, in order that being justified by thee of that one grace, heirs we might become,
mm-hmm,
according to a hope of life eternal.
Okay, again, I'd just like to point out one thing and then we move on. In the King James, it says we should be made heirs, but here, what you got here is you have a subjunctive mood.
Mm-hmm.
We might become, according to, we have an aorist tense,
mm-hmm,
that is already determined. The heirs of God are already determined.
Already.
Amen. That was determined. You were made to the specification of his heir.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You were created an heir.
Yes,
Amen. If there's anything that should give us not only consolation, but security, and that's what we want. We want security. We want to feel safe, don't we?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Amen. There's so many things going on out here. You need something that you can rest in and that you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
You can count on the fact that you are an heir. You're an heir of God, that you're a joint heir of that which belonged to Christ. No matter whatever else goes down in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you're going to worry about some, just got to worry about some things, don't let that be one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Isn't God great?
He is wonderful.
So, we are focusing on the doctrine of regeneration. And as we have looked through all of these verses, as I was saying last week, I just want to kind of recapitulate for a second. As we look through these verses, the alignment of them, the stabilizing impact upon our mindsets from the reading of them, as we've said, it engenders four criteria qualifying the interpretation of them as undeniable truth. And as we look at them, and are they adequate? Are the readings rational? Are they reliable? Are they suitable?
All right.
And as we evaluate them, do they validate, amen, the essence of those things that they are purportedly conveying unto us? Well, the answer to that comes to us through the understanding of four examinations.
Mm-hmm.
And they are consistency, coherence, comprehensiveness, and
congruity.
What is a congruent triangle? It means got something that's exactly the same as the other. That's all it means.
Mm-hmm.
Big word, no more. Congruent means that. This is the same as that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So if you're in one portion of the scripture and you're reading it, shall align with that which is in the other portion.
Yeah.
That is in our gospel now. Let me straighten this out.
Mm-hmm.
There. And I'm going to have to fast forward to say this. But there are certain ingressions that you must bring into the study and to the evaluation of the scriptures. Amen. Ingression means that some claim or some hypothesis is deeply embedded and crucially connected. And we were dealing with that in Sunday school this morning. And that is that you must divide this Bible by dispensations and covenants. If you don't, you got a confused situation on your hand, depending upon where you're reading and you're trying to make that fit you as a member of the body of Christ. You got big time problems.
Amen.
In fact, the failure of an exegesis in any of the areas of consistency, coherence, comprehensiveness, congruity, in any of them, it indicates a weakness in that which you have read or that which you have construed to read. And of course, so we're speaking about that which lies within the gospel of grace. Stay in your gospel for doctrine.
Yes.
Amen. The entire Bible is for you. You can go from Genesis to Revelation. And it's for you, but, amen, it is the contents of those 14 epistles that are the directives and instructions to you as a member of the body of Christ.
Right.
And going outside of that, you must evaluate all scripture as it aligns with these directives and instructions. Sometimes they will corroborate, and they're very useful to us.
Yes.
Sometimes they clash.
Yes.
Sometimes there's contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Here, amen, the Apostle Paul is telling you that we don't favor any one day over the other. And then when you go back into the law, you see the observance of all of these days.
Yes,
the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of, amen, you observing Pentecost, you observing, and I notice denominations, they have special days, and, you know, if you're doing a thing, at least understand that that there is no rhetorical advantage to doing such, that you are not doing it because this is a directive to the church.
Right.
Amen. So these are ingressions that you must bring in. And of course, when you're in our gospel and you're reading, you must first of all deal with the historical aspect. Where are you reading? Where are you reading from?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he talking to? What is it about? Amen. We use the grammar. This is why we want everyone to have Greek interlineal Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. And finally, to contextualize it in all its applications.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is necessary and even demanded for veracity or truth.
Yeah.
Again, because I want them to be indelibly impressed into your mindsets. Number one, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, coherence.
Yes.
Number three, comprehensiveness. Number four, congruity. Amen. One verse over here and another verse over there. Amen. If you hear our gospel, they're in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
They're not clashing. They're not bumping heads. Paul doesn't say one thing in one area and then something to contradict it in the other.
Don't do it.
You read it wrong. Mm-hmm. You looked at it wrong. You misconstrued and misapplied.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You didn't get it. You need to go back, amen, and go through it again. And so, as we look at the ingression of, follow me here, look at the ingression of the division of the Bible into dispensations and covenants. You must understand that the covenant writings are addressed to distinct recipients. Amen. They all are the elect of God.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't have any provisions for the non-elect, but for the elect, dependent upon the administration
mm-hmm.
That is involved. One must know who is being talked to, and when it's not talking to you, don't try to bend it and massage it and customize it to make it fit, because it just won't fit. It's like putting the left shoe on the right foot. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to jam it in there, but it's not going to be too comfortable, is
it?
Oh, no.
No way.
So we must look at this. Now, the depth of ingression that you bring into consideration does not imbue perceived doctrinal opinions that are not substantiated. Entire denominations hang their hat on the misinterpretation of not only things that are read in other parts of the Bible, but I'm unfortunately, even in our gospel, they go in there and they pull out something and they misconstrue what the Apostle Paul, amen, has penned, and then they're gone down the road 1,500 miles an hour with the wrong thing.
But
scriptural perceptions are truly deep ingressions. And they are more dependent upon consistency in the context, as is the context of their alignment. Amen. If anything falls outside in a gray area, you know what I'm talking about there, doubt You need to go back, and I don't care how many times you go back to the verse of Scripture before you, go back again and again and again and again,
mm-hmm.
because, they line up.
Yes,
amen. Sir. The Word of God is consistent.
Yes, sir.
So the testing of these matters is thus more contextually crucial, must be conducted carefully with a great deal of evidence, and that no accommodating changes justified. Not, in fact, they're not even necessary. You don't have to add anything in here, amen, to make this thing land. If you don't have to make something up, amen. I think about those that teach the doctrine of synergism, and even those that teach that man is saved according to his belief.
Yes, belief.
And then when the question is asked concerning infants that die and those who are mentally incapacitated, now you got to go back and mm-hmm. you got to make something up.
Amen.
To cover that loophole.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But when you hew closely to the Word of God, and of course it will teach you and show you and guide you into the eternal stream of knowing that what God did is not about you.
Yes.
It's not about the person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
So the little baby or the incapacitated one mentally is no more responsible for their salvation than you are.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. They're not responsible for theirs, and you're not responsible for yours. So you're not saved because of your belief. You believe, though, because you are saved, and God has given you that enlightenment and that revelation.
Yes.
And so, when we look at these things, we must follow and let the Word of God speak.
Mm-hmm.
Have confidence that the Word of God, you know, one thing I don't ever do is I'm going through the Scriptures. I'm not gonna reach out and grab something to hook it on to make that thing fit. No. You can have complete confidence in the Word of God that it will say what it means, and it always means what it actually conveys. But the thing is to look and understand what the actual conveyance is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we must stay away from these problems and again bring, as we bring such certain ingressions into play, such as dispensation of teaching, as again we were looking at this morning, amen, separation between the church and Israel. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. If there's one thing that drove me through the wall is, when we first got here and I found out that some of you did not understand the difference between Israel and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stopped and we stayed upon that. Amen. And we drilled and we drilled and we drilled. And I'm happy to say, amen, the last time that we did a survey here, amen, 99% of you understood that there is a difference between Israel and the church. The church is not Israel, and Israel is not, it's not the church. That's, that is deeply ingressive. In applying the diverse covenant connotations. Amen. If you remove this separation, confusion immediately ensues. Because there are variances in what Paul has written, I've said, as opposed to what's in the other scriptures. And James said, you certify your faith by your works, and amen. And he's right, because that's what's in that covenant.
All right.
Amen. But in our gospel, amen, works not only mitigate grace, but works destroy grace. It's either works or it's grace. If it's grace, as Paul writes in the 11th chapter of Romans, if it's grace, it's not works, and if it's works, it's not grace. You can't, amen. You know, these are not two wheels rolling a vehicle, amen, because one wheel is rolling one way and the other one is rolling the other.
That's it.
Yes, Lord.
When that happens, But you've got the vehicle going round in a circle, but we're not going in the circle.
Hallelujah.
We're moving forward, aren't we, this morning?
Hallelujah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Two more ingressions. Then we move forward. The doctrine of total depravity.
All right.
In regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
It's deeply ingressive. And if this is evil separately or collectively misperceived and misapplied, it in fact functions in distorting the true scripture view of regeneration. And that's what's wrong this morning. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we're all over the place as to what being saved means.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. I think of those, and I thank God that He has given us such enlightenment here at the Grace Gospel Church. You have one group that's teaching dispensational division of the Scriptures, and that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have another group that's teaching sovereign grace of God in election to salvation, and that's correct. The problem is, those that are teaching dispensational division of the Bible, amen, they militate against the sovereign grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are teaching sovereign grace militate against dividing the Bible
mm-hmm.
according to dispensations. And
mm-hmm.
in essence, if you would bring both of these ingressions in,
mm-hmm.
it basically is the only way to get to the truth. In essence, the truth in both these doctrines are reconcilable. And recognizing that the revelation of the mystery to Apostle Paul, it engenders the actualization
mm-hmm.
of all God's workings in the eternal sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And all manifestations are in the sphere of time.
All right.
Now, if you hook all of this up, you've got all of these ingressions.
Yes.
Now, when you go into the scriptures, they're going to align.
Yes.
You're going to get, the comprehension from them.
Yes.
You're going to get consistency.
Yes.
You will, get the
mm-hmm.
coherence. They're going to be congruent. They're going to line up. All the scriptures are lined up. Amen.
Yes.
Because when you know, when you see the aorist tense and it's speaking about the work of God, we know that all the works of God
mm-hmm.
are eternal.
Yes.
Amen. And their manifestations are in time.
Yes, sir.
Glory. So as we look at these things, we see the essence
mm-hmm.
that they are all aligned.
Mm.
Now those that teach sovereign grace, they view regeneration in the right manner, but it is shrewd in the perception that the actuation of it occurs in time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saved in time.
Mm-hmm.
You're saved in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The manifestation of your salvation, of the revelation of in time does not constitute
mm-hmm.
its enactment.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Amen. A thing doesn't happen when you believe it.
Right.
How many of us can remember when we were 3 months old? None of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And things were happening then. You didn't know it. That didn't mean it wasn't happening. Amen. It means you didn't know it.
That's right.
Amen. And just because we can't perceive in these bodies the eternal essence of things does not mean, amen, that things didn't materialize until man, amen, got a view of it. No. It's in eternity. Now this is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And this would align it up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those that teach dispensational vision of the scriptures, they actually reject total depravity. That is something that has just always amazed me. Of course, you can't understand unless God gives you the understanding, amen, that there's nothing good in man. Because when you try to put at least a little bit of merit in man,
mm-hmm.
saying that he is born with faith,
mm-hmm.
this inevitably leads you into synergism.
Mm-hmm.
That is, a man must do something in cooperation, and even the sovereign grace proponents, they touch and put a little bit of cynicism in there, because mm-hmm. they're saying, amen, well, God calls you to believe, and then you believe, and then you save, mm-hmm. which means that God has got to cause you to believe in order to save you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. No, it doesn't. Amen. No, you believe because you are saved.
Oh, my God.
God only gives the revelation of his workings and who he is to his elect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Paul writes that natural man knoweth not the things of God.
Right.
Because they are spiritually discerned. And so it is the Holy Spirit connectively communicating with your spirit that caused you to know the things that you know.
Ooh.
And if he didn't talk to you, I could talk all day. If the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you, you'll never know it.
Come on here.
So it's not about the... Now, God has the process where he's using, the voice of men, and I may be speaking something to you, but it is the Holy Spirit that brings it to your comprehension and understanding. So the next time, one of us are up here teaching, and don't say thank you, Pastor, thank you, Elder, thank you, Deacon, say thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's who has illuminated. That's who has given you the elucidation of these things. But the way that we bring it all into understanding is again, the actualization of all God's workings are in the eternal sphere through his decree. God decrees it, and that's what brings it in to existence. Manifestation in time is just the testimony, a revelation of what has been decreed. And if there's anything that I want to those who are part of this congregation to understand and to know it, because sometimes the things are happening, things are going down, and we're all torn up about it, amen, and we're all uptight about something that is already decreed, it's already happened, and whatever you do, you can cry, you can scream, you can tear your hair, amen, you can fast, amen, whatever that thing is, it has already gone down. This is why our gospel speaks in the aorist tense. And I said, well, then it's no use to pray. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Your prayer is part of the decree.
Come on. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Remember, manifestation is for what? It's for testimony.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a record
of
that. You know, we read in the Old Testament, the prophet prayed and, what was it, the sun stood still for... A few days, you know, that sun didn't stand still because the prophet prayed. The prayer of the prophet was part of the process of God causing the sun to stand still, amen, because when the sun stood still, that was only the manifestation of that which God had decreed. It happened when God decreed it, not when it was manifested. These are very important ingressions. Now, the acceptance of all God's eternal workings in every aspect of them as having been fully accomplished before creation would first of all effectively eliminate the debate as to the typical order of salvation. Whether regeneration precedes faith, or whether faith precedes generation, or what do you do first? When we acknowledge that all the works of salvation, as well as everything else, were actualized in and by God's decree, it renders unnecessary the argument that man has no part at all in the salvation process because a completely fallen one is incapacitated to do anything to effective salvation. That's true, but we don't even have to go there, amen, because if it happened in eternity, amen, if it It wasn't possible for him to do anything. He didn't do it because it was more that he couldn't do it. It was more that it wasn't possible because he wasn't around to do it. This will also establish our gospel as a distinct and superior knowledge that was given to the Apostle Paul. That hidden message we were talking about this morning, that was hid from ages and from generations. Amen. And when we comprehend this truth, it will alleviate contentions of so many factions. I tell you, if we would ever get to the point where we understand that all of the workings of salvation are in eternity, and that none of it is in time, it would clear the deck, it would clear the table, most of the denominational teachings would evaporate, disappear. Amen. Because it's not about what you can do and how you can do it. Amen. Because you don't do anything.
Hallelujah.
God did it all. Amen. Before you were ever around to do anything. So it's neither active nor passive. Amen. You didn't do anything. You didn't consent to it. You might have consented to it. Amen. In testimony. But your consent to it does not bring it about. You don't say, they teach that, you know, God can't save you unless you let him. Huh?
Hallelujah.
God can't save you unless you ask him to. If you don't ask him to, he's not going to save you.
Thank you, Lord.
So when the infant dies and the infant didn't ask, what happened to the infant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you got to make up something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, amen, if you bring in the ingression of the eternal workings of God,
mm-hmm.
amen, you don't even go there.
Amen.
Now, let me move forward.
Amen.
It's perceived by some that the scripture priority of regeneration rests upon the doctrine of total depravity, a moral inability.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, while these are indeed very important elements in defining the spiritual blessing, the impact of them abides in deference to the fact that they are mitigated, they are lessened. The impact of them does not come into play because this is all irrelevant in the eternal sphere. So such should not be considered as valid points of debate because fallen man is neither physically nor morally manifested, amen, in eternity. You were not around. We did not participate. And we're going to go over this over and over again in the conference. We're going to go over it again and again and again. What we're trying to build up is your understanding, amen, that this thing is not about you, not dependent upon you.
Yes.
Amen. Not from the point that you become apathetic and you reach the point where you say, well, you know, I'm saved in a way, so whether I do anything. No, it's the very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
As you learn these things, it should inspire you
mm-hmm.
and motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I don't know about you. I become excited as I see, amen, the love of God that was so great that he saved me before he ever made me. You ever thought about that? And so now regeneration really means something. And then the time that I'm out here and I fell and I stumble and I bump my head and I break my leg or whatever. The other night my grandson Grant, I mean, he fell and you know, he had to go get stitches, and I was talking to my son, and we were saying, hey, this is not the first, not the last time. That's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And as you travel through time,
mm-hmm.
you got, you know, you say, well, I've got enough bumps. I don't need any more bumps. No, there's some more bumps waiting on you. There are bumps, there are bumps and bruises all along the path. Amen. As long as you're between the womb and the tomb, you're going to get some bumps and some bruises, and sometimes you're going to bash your head.
Yeah.
Oh, you all will hear me this morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And so you got to know this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know you're saved.
Come on here.
even when you mess up, you got
to
know, yes, we mess up. We look all holy. We mess sometimes. We mess all the way up. And when we mess up, we have to know that this thing is set. It's fixed. It's not going anywhere. It can't change. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Now, that should excite you. Amen. Not to do that which is wrong. Amen. But to continue. Keep on keeping on. Oh, my God. No matter what befalls you, no matter what confronts you, no matter what challenges, no matter what comes against you, amen, you know that he who is in you is greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who's in the world.
Hallelujah.
So you must know this. You must know this. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to be wind up a little early today. Amen. Hopefully, anyway. In this sense, regeneration in eternity. Regeneration has to be placed in eternity. Amen. And if it's in eternity, it's not in a logical locale for man's faith to occur. You're not saved because of your faith.
Thank you, Lord.
You're saved because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Because the action occurred in eternity. Not in time. Now, your faith did serve a purpose. It was a vehicle by which God communicated to you who he is and what he has done for you. He gifted that to you so that you would know what he did. Amen. But don't misconstrue that it was done in time. It was done in eternity. Now, when we give audience to contentions, whether faith precedes regeneration, it automatically signals our consent to the premise that such is plausible. Amen. We don't have to debate about whether unregenerate people either have not the moral ability to exercise faith. That's ridiculous. Amen. We call people unregenerate who haven't given a testimony. You don't know who's unregenerate. The unregenerate is the non-elect. The elect is regenerated. Even if that person doesn't know it yet, how many of you know that you were saved before you ever knew it? Well, you out there acting a fool, amen. You were God. You were always God. From the beginning.
That's right.
From eternity.
That's right.
Before Jacob ever came on the scene to be a supplanter, as the Old Testament, to be a slickster, as the Old Amen. As that would be brought out, amen. A trickster, amen. He belonged to God. God loved him. He was the object of God's mercy and God's grace. On the other hand, his twin brother was the object of God's wrath.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Before they ever came on the scene. So we don't participate.
Yes,
in such debates. Because it's all irrelevant. Amen. And when we participate in such debates, we're agreeing that such is possible in time. And that's why I won't participate in that kind of debate.
Thank God.
Amen. If I'm going to, amen, utilize energy debating, it's going to be a debate of moving this whole thing into eternity. Amen. That's where our energy should go.
Amen.
Yes. These are all eternal workings. Because if this is ever comprehended, it effectively mitigates or lessens the impact, amen, of every combative assertion regarding regeneration, including the role of justification. Where should justification be? In eternity. Sanctification. I don't care what they've taught. in eternity. That word means to set apart. When did God set you apart? In eternity. How could he, just the fact of him electing you is concomitant with him sanctifying you. You can't select someone without separating them. Your selection separates them. And we were selected, or we were sanctified in eternity. Amen. And every other aspect of the workings of salvation, there could be no sequencing of such, because in eternity, what?
There are no sequences.
Amen. There's no sequencing in the eternal realm. So eternal regeneration is the only adducer. It is the only answer, solution, amen, or example of that which aligns everything together and brings everything into one harmonious concert to all such inquiries to the functional role of what being saved is about. Now, just really quickly, I'm not going to get through it, but let's turn to Matthew 19:28.
All right.
I want to hit this point. I'm going to clear this up. We'll start here next week, but I just want you, I just feel led to, for us to clear this one point up. Amen. We use words. We read things, and there are those that go to this verse, and they don't know what they're talking about.
That's true.
Amen. And here they end up in the millennial, and they misconstrue, amen, the essence of regeneration being in the spiritual sphere rather than the physical sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Regeneration is spiritual.
Yes.
Your flesh is not regenerated. My flesh is not regenerated.
Amen.
Your flesh is not saved.
Amen.
My flesh is not saved. Not my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, everybody got to Matthew 19. I got it backwards. Matthew 19:28. Amen. You turn there, and I just want to make this one point, and then this is where we will launch from next week. Some things we must understand. It's so crucial, especially, amen, as we see the days of so many things that we had not been seeing that are coming to pass within the last 2-3 years, things that we never, amen, imagined, and these things are happening.
Yes.
But of course, all of these things are manifestations of that which have been decreed. But it's so important for us to know where we are in relationship to these things. Brother Deacon?
That's right.
Oh my God, look at that clock. It's time for me to quit. Start with verse 24. Well, start with verse 23.
King James.
Yeah. Now read the King James. We'll come back next week.
All right. King James Version.
Everybody look closer. We're down in about 5 to 7 minutes now. Mm-hmm. Hang with me. All right, read.
Matthew 19:23.
Uh-huh.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples,
mm-hmm.
Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven.
See, somebody take that and run down the road with it.
Straight
and
down the road.
set up some... keep reading them.
Mm-hmm. And again I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Lord, I heard so much.
Yes.
You know, you see, when you... If you don't let the word of God speak, then you've got to come and make something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that thing about needless eye, there was a gate called needless eye, and the person would have to get off of their camera and discard some of their cargo to get through there. That's something some theologian made up. It means exactly what it says. This is the kingdom gospel. And it means exactly what it's saying. He was talking about something that was impossible to happen. You know, that would be like me saying, such is going to happen. If that happened for me to start pulling ice cream out of that organ. You know, you don't have to help the Word of God out. You know, some of the comments, that's what I'm saying. You know, basically stay away from those commentaries. You know, preachers come out preaching that stuff because we said it. And I'm not saying we said that, but I'm saying, you know, they read, you know, you go into the library of most pastors and, you know, they got Spurgeon in there. And then, you know, they go in there and they read something and they don't check it out. You know, Bible study to some is reading commentaries. You know, so I'm going to study the Word of God. And then you go to Matthew Henry or something and you read what they said. Then the minister come out and preach it, because the ministers preached it, then those in the pews, they believe it. And that's how things get started, way down the road. All right, I got off the track. Keep reading.
Verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?"
Who can be saved? Now they're saying that based upon what?
What Jesus had said.
No, the offerings.
Oh.
The offerings.
Okay.
The richer the man was, you know, if he was poor, he had to bring a turtle dove, because
right.
He didn't have a bullock to sacrifice.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
We're in the law here, right?
Right.
All right. Okay, so that's what he's saying. They were amazed. They said, "What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You know, because he can bring a better sacrifice."
Mm-hmm.
So they were amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And keep reading.
26.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
That's right. It's not about what man can do. It's about what God does.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because even with bringing in the best heifer or the best she-goat, amen, when we get to Hebrews, it lets us know, amen, that the blood of none of those could take away sin.
Take away sin. That's right.
It was the sacrifice of Jesus. This is what he's saying. Amen. Read.
Wow. Then answered Peter and said unto him,
mm-hmm.
"Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?"
Okay, I'll start that next week, but read 28.
And Jesus said unto them,
mm-hmm.
"Verily I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
that ye which have followed me
mm-hmm.
in the regeneration,
uh-huh.
when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory,
mm-hmm.
ye
mm-hmm.
also shall sit upon mm-hmm. the 12 thrones. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
There are many that are priests that they're taking that for regeneration, and they took the word regeneration and not knowing what he's talking about. Everything that Jesus is talking about, as he says, in the regeneration,
mm-hmm.
is physical.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about anything spiritual. He's not saying, "You follow me, you'll be regenerated." You hear all kind of things. You hear all type of things. Now, here, give me about 3 minutes now. We're not going to run that much over. The Greek word polyeios, as spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 19:28, and of course, in Titus 3 and 5, which we read, we have the Greek word. In another declension, we have polyeios, which is, and they're both rendered regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And as this word appears twice in the document, in the manuscripts,
mm-hmm.
the scripture meaning of the word regeneration is derived from combining polyne, rendered again, and Unesi, rendered birth. Hence, it literally means again birth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what regeneration means.
Mm-hmm.
What does again mean?
Again.
It means something that That has happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And see what they're teaching. I'm going to close this out today. What they teach, and they go to the third chapter
John.
Of John, and they say, well, you must be born again. And see, what they didn't understand is they were saying birth and birth. And he said the first birth was natural and the second was spiritual. No, that's not what this is saying. Again, birth is that which you were in Christ Jesus in eternity before the foundation of the world. You're not going. Oh, my God. I take this up next week.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God.
Glory.
Oh, my God.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's what you were before.
Yes.
Before you were created.
Yes.
Before you were placed in these bodies.
Yes.
Before.
Yes.
Again.
Woo.
Again. Amen. Oh, my God. In actualization, you must go back, not forward. It's forward in manifestation. It's backward. Amen. In actualization.
Yes.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
You always were.
Mm-hmm.
What you were.
Thank you.
We'll take this up next week.
Oh, my God.
Because the expression is in the regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Here he was speaking about, amen, the birth of the order of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
He was not speaking, amen, about the nature of God being placed in them in that verse. We'll take that up. Oh, my God. We'll take that up next week. Amen. Oh, if you really line this thing up. And why are we taking so much time? Why are we doing this? Why aren't we talking about, amen, we had Katrina, then we had Rita. Amen. The gas prices went up. Now, what is that, Wilma that's out there? No, Wilma went through. Now they got another one coming through. So why are we talking about, you know, we had indictments in Washington this week.
Yeah.
Amen. The Supreme Court nomination withdrawn, another one. You got the right screaming about this, the left screaming about that. You got all of these things that happened. You got inflation all over the place. Why are we talking about this instead of that? Amen. Oh, my God. Yeah, if you think of in the day that Paul wrote this, amen, don't you think that there were problems coming out of Rome? Huh? They ruled the entire civilized world at that time. Civil rights, if you were not a Roman citizen, you had no rights. Amen. And all of these things are going down. What do you see the Apostle Paul talking about? Was he talking about the things on earth, or was he talking about the eternal things? Where's Rome today? Where's mighty Rome? Amen. What? The politics of that day, what does that mean now? It doesn't mean a thing. Amen. Understand this. Amen. Your hope is on the essence of that which is. And what is, the only thing that is, it was always will be. Those things are temporary. They came for a purpose. If God is manifesting them, His power, His wisdom, amen. The intent is that to the principalities, He will express the manifold wisdom of God. And when He does it, He shows them the church, you and me, glorified some position.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Everlasting. Because one day you're going out of here. Well, everybody sitting here, if the Lord tarries another 100 to 150 years, I'm just putting it way out there. None of us in here will still be here. Amen. We're here for a short time. And whatever happens as you travel this route, amen, these are but incidents and designs of God as He works out His purpose, as He works out His will. But oh, hallelujah, you must know the importance and the blessing that have been bestowed upon you, that you as a member of the body of Christ, you are the greatest, you are the glorious of all that God has ever created, because you are regenerated and you're all
always were regenerated as a member of the body of Christ, some position in him before the foundation of the world. We'll take this up next week. God bless you.